This is an interview with Mr. Ira Emkin of Bishop, Texas. Mr. Emkin was a businessman in Bishop for many years. He came to Bishop when he was 9 years old and has lived there from that time. He is now 70 years old and retired from the grocery store business. He was born in Fayette County, Texas, and moved to Bishop with his family from West Texas in 1911. This interview was conducted in Bishop, Texas, July 27, 1973. The interviewer was Darlene Wilkinson.
Well, we came in from West Texas, poor as anybody could be. We had to borrow money to get here. Daddy came in 1911, and he got a job here in a grocery store. He was in the grocery business in West Texas. We went broke there because it was so dry. Anyway, he came down here and got a job. And after he was here for a year, well, we came in 1912, mother and us three boys, we came in 1912. And so we just, we rented a house for a little while. And then after a while, well, my granddad gave us some money, gave mother and daddy some money, so we could build our 5 acres of land and build us a house on that. So we built a house. We had just got a few cows, chickens, hogs, and we rented a little land. Daddy worked in the store, and mother and us boys, we went out and did the work in the farm and in the little patch that we had. And when cotton season was there, we went out to pick cotton so we'd make some money. And that's what we did for several years. Well, after school out, we had some cows then, but we just started delivering milk in town. We had customers in town, they wanted milk. We delivered milk in the morning before school, and we delivered after school. Then, we had the cows, we had the little pasture, we had to tend to them, and to the hogs, the chicken, till dark. Then we had to study. Well, the next day, the same thing over again. We just had to work for a living. We were just, in 1922, we seemed like we had accumulated a little, and some of the farmers wanted my daddy to start a store. So they kind of helped him along, and we started the store, our grocery store, in 1922. Anyway, and then mother and daddy run that, and as far as after school and before school, we helped fill up the shelves and stuff like that to kind of help them along. Business wasn't too good at that time. We eventually built it up. Well, in 1923, I finished school, and then I helped them in the store. But then my other two brothers, they had 4 more years to go. The boy was here, the brother was here then, the other one lived in Corbin. They finished in 27, they finished in. And my middle side brother, he helped us in the store, and the other one went to college, and we decided we sent him to college because he was the smartest one of all. So we sent him to college. He got his degree in A&I College. He went to A&I College. So, I don't know. Our business just picked up. We had a wonderful business, and we just built it up till 1950. Well, my daddy passed away in 1950. Turned the store over to, in the will. It was willed, everything was willed to my mother. But she didn't want to run, so she gave it to us two boys. So we got the business, and so us two brothers, we run the business till 3 years ago. And
how long were y'all in business all together from the time that your father started the store until you closed it?
From 50 to 69. 67, might say 70, put in 70, between 69 and 70 when we closed the store. So anyway, brother wanted to get out. Mother always wanted us to get out because she said, well, they had accumulated enough that we could, live on, that they had saved for us. Mother and daddy both were saving, and they worked for us boys, and we worked with them. So we decided brother wanted to get out, and I said, well, I'm not going to run by myself. So I just said, well, we'll just go ahead and put it on for sale. So we started out with selling out to 25% and then 30% until we got up to 50%. Sold out practically everything. And then the rest of it we give away, you might say, to get rid of it. So we sold our fixtures to different merchants, some in Kingsville, some in Robstown, and some in Alice. And then we finally, Irby wanted to rent the building or buy the building. So we made him such a good price on the building, he said, well, I'll buy the building. So he bought the building, we got rid of it.
Where was this building located that you had the store in?
What?
Where was the building located that you had the store
Irby's store is not. It was a 50-foot front and 100-foot length.
It was always located the same
yeah,
place?
Always located there. When we first started in, we had a 25-by-100-foot building. But as we grew, we took the middle wall out and made a 50-foot building out of it, 50-foot front and 100-foot length. So we, like I said, we kind of prospered, and as we did, we changed, remodeled, I think, about four different times during the time that we, and we had planned on, Brother and Seth had planned to remodel again when we were about ready to close up. But anyway, he wanted to get out. He said, I feel like I have enough. And I said, well, I do too. So we just sold out and got out of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything about the other businesses back when your father first started operating the school, I mean the grocery store?
Well, when he first came down, he worked for Mr. Flynn. He had a grocery store. He worked with him. Worked for about 3 years. And then there was a Moore Dry Goods opened up. Well, they had opened up already a little bit. But anyway, they want my daddy to work for him. They gave him better proposition, so he started working for Moore Dry Goods. Well, then Mr. Sims had a grocery store. He was a kind of elder man. He wanted to get out, so he sold out to the Moore Dry Goods. And then the Moore Dry Goods and the Sims went together in this building where we were started. And they called it the Farmer Supply then. And they had a dry goods store and a grocery store. And the 25-foot, they had the dry goods store, and the 25-foot on this side, they had the grocery store. But anyway, they put a big opening arch in there so that they both, with the dry goods and the grocery store, would be all combined in one. So, well, I don't know. Somehow or another, they want to get rid of the business, so they went ahead and sold the dry goods store to a man in Alice. So that building was vacant then, where the dry goods store was in. And so Mr. Holmes taking the charge of the grocery store. So that other building was empty. Well, so many of the merchants, we were Germans, and so many German people were here, and they liked my daddy, and they want him to start a grocery store. They kind of helped him along. So then they closed up that partition between the two buildings, and we started a grocery store on the other side, and then Mr. Holmes had a grocery store on this side. Well, Mr. Holmes was a man that didn't tend too much to business, so we finally just
worked your
he had to move up, and he got out of the business. And he went to the cotton buying. He bought cotton, went in the cotton buying business. So, well, we stayed in that, and we decided Mr. Sims wanted to sell the building. He moved to San Antonio, Mr. Sims did, and he wanted to sell the building. So we bought the two buildings. We bought the whole block. I mean, it was two 150-foot by 100-foot building. We bought the whole building. Well, after like I said, when our business started prospering, we had to expand. We wanted to put in the meat market and everything else. So we taken the middle wall part and just had the whole 150-foot front. So that's the same building like Mr. Irby has now there.
In the early days, where did you get your supplies from that you stopped? Your supplies, your groceries?
Well, most we got out of Corpus from different wholesale houses there. But...
Do they come by train?
Yeah, by train. Mostly at first, everything by train, yeah. But after, well, when they got the roads a little, well, then they would start delivering by trucks once a week. And that's where we...
About when did they start this delivering by trucks? The roads were good enough for them to use the...
Well, I'll tell you, that's a hard proposition. I really wouldn't know this part it must have been about, 22? Well, it seemed like It must have been about 5 or 6 years, about after we started in, when they started delivering by crooks once a week. Well, then they just, as the rules got better, well, they just seemed to deliver 2 or 3 times a week, you know. We need more merchandise, so they just started delivering more merchandise. So we bought, I can't think of all the wholesale houses at that time, but not any of them were in existence anymore. They're all out of business. They either sold out to somebody else, but anyway, the last year, we bought from L.L. Harris. They bought out most of the wholesalers, and they're just in the big wholesale business in Corpus now. So we bought all our merchandise from them, and it seemed like we bought so much from them, and they finally decided they were just the brothers and sisters that had that wholesale house. Well, they liked us real well, and they asked us if we want to take stock in the building, in the business. So we did. So we just built up the business, their business, and naturally our stock increased, so we just have quite a bit of stock in that business there.
I was going to ask you about the payment. Did the people always pay in cash or from the very beginning?
No, at the first years when we in business, most of them, very few paid cash. Lots of them paid monthly, and quite a few of the farmers just paid when the crop come in. That is, we just had to wait till the crop come in. But then after the farmers prosper, well, they would start in paying maybe every 3 months or something like that. And then the last few years, well, it was just by monthly paper. They would pay by monthly. But the first year, it seemed like it was mostly yearly payments.
Oh, you were saying something a while ago about the German settlers. Were there many German settlers that came in to Bishop in the very beginning?
At the beginning, there was lots of German people came in, that's right. They came from Thorndale and from West Texas, about 8 or 10 families of German people, and from Thorndale and from the Grange. And Central Texas, you might say, Copeland and Taylor and all those, F.C. Bishop, had excursion trains to come bring these people to Bishop. You know, he was opening up this territory and selling them the land, you see. So he had, sometimes these trains would have bring 50 or 100 families in here to look the situation over, and everybody was sold on the thing, and so they would buy land. And it was mostly the German people that came in at first, but eventually, well, there's some American people too, as far as that's concerned, but the majority of them was the German people.
And they were farmers, most of them were farmers.
Yes, they were all farmers, that's right.
You were saying, we were talking a little bit about roads a while ago, and could you tell us something about the roads around the area that you remember? First remember about?
Well, the roads were pretty bad. I'm telling you, they most of them covered with horseback and with wagons and buggies when they got, and then most of the time, they would just come in on during the weekend and get their groceries because, you know, the roads were bad and they would come in. So Friday and Saturday was a big business for the merchants because that's when the farmers would come in and get their groceries and it was a wagon. Well, you can kind of tell in that book right there where they had the wagon. Very, very few cars, and they would come in and get their supply, weekly supply.
What do you remember about the storms or the hurricanes? There was a couple of them that hit.
Well, the first storm was in 1960 in August. It was that one in 1919. Were about the two worst storms that we had. In 1960, well, must I tell you what all happened then?
Well, whatever you remember about it.
Yeah. Anyway, I was teaching, picking cotton, and the storm hit. You see, at that time, they didn't have any any alerts, anything like that. The storm came in and it hit, and that was it. But anyway, we said, well, they had a bunch of town boys out there and picking cotton. And the storm came in about 10 o'clock. Rain and wind blowing, but we had to go work ourselves. We stayed out there as long as we thought. We didn't know it was going to be a storm. But we had to work our sleep back to the house. And when we got there, it just blew something fierce. Well, I just, wind just blowed out, and I still have a scar where the wind hit me and cut my finger up to the bone, and they had to bandage me up there, and I was bleeding out. And I still have that from 1916, that scar right there. And it just blew something well, and mother and my two brothers were at home. My daddy was in town. We lived about a mile out of the country. That's where we lived. My daddy was in town working. Well, nobody didn't know anything about the storm coming. Well, when the storm got so bad, well, they closed the store and they went to the depot because they figured the depot was the strongest place to go. So they, most of the merchants all went to the depot. Well, my daddy, when he just went nuts because mother and the boys were at the house, he just knew that they'd be killed, something like that. Well, mother stayed there with the boys till it got so bad, so she packed up and went to the neighbor's house because the neighbors were, they were by themselves. So she went up, and at that time, well, they had the wire fence, the wire fences with the thorns on there, you know, barbed wire, yeah. Well, the wind blew so hard that it blew, mother, she had to get a hold of that fence and hold the boys. The boys held to her dress so they wouldn't fly away, and it just tore her whole dress all to pieces. They were just threads. When she got to the neighbor's house, it was just about a block and a half away. Well, when she got there, well, that wind blew all day from, well, 10 o'clock till I think about 12 or 1 o'clock that night. So they all just huddled in the dining room there, and so they just kind of got supper ready. So they were sitting at the dining room table when they had this ceiling, they had paper ceiling. So the roof had started leaking, and the paper got loose and came down and splashed over all the food. The water came down just like in sheets, you know. All they said, it was, after all over with, it was fun. They just laughed about it, and still, mother just talked about how what they went through and things. It's real funny. But at the time when they was there, it was serious. They just thought every minute was the last of them because of it. Well, in 1919, it was just about the same way. Our house went off the blocks and flocked to one side. And they had we had a little dog, and the dog was under the house, and he got pinned under there. But we had to loose the flooring to get our dog out, and he tore off the back screen, the porch, and everything. Well, it was terrible. Well, the other storms, well, we had more alert, you know, and we could go more into safety then as we could the first two storms.
What kind of damage did it do to the business section of town, the 1916 storm? Did it tear up the business places?
Yes, it did. It tore up quite a bit. I just don't remember very much about it. And then in 1922, we had a hailstorm. And that was the junior-senior banquet was in the middle of May, 16th or 17th of May. And I had just gotten home. I was a junior then. We had entertained the seniors. You know, at that time, we had a junior-senior banquet. But I had gotten home about 15 or 20 minutes. But, oh, it was just thundering and lightning. And I just got home just a few minutes. Just got in bed when that hailstorm hit. But it hit, and it knocked all our windows out on the northwest side. And it just blew our barn over and blew our chicken house over. And the cows went up, you know, scared them to death. We had to wait till in the morning, hung our cattle together, and it just killed most of our chickens and destroyed all our crop that we had. We had rented some land, and cotton and everything was destroyed. And that was one of the worst hailstorms that we ever had.
You mentioned the junior-senior banquet. Can you tell us more about school, why you were going to school, some of the things you remember about going to school from the very beginning?
Well, from the beginning when we first moved here, they had just one large building, which was had four rooms, two rooms on one side and two rooms on the other side, a big hall in the middle. Then they had, that was for the high school. And then they had a little grammar school on the west side and another one on the east side for just, I don't think there must have been about 50 or 60 children at that time, at the beginning. Well, there was, I think, about 2, 3, 4 years, something like that. Then they built the high school, which was a three-story building. There was a basement in there where they had the first and second grade, and they had the mantle training rooms and different rooms down in the basement. And the second floor was they had the third, fourth grade, fifth, sixth, and seventh grade in there. And then they had the superintendent had his office, and they had a library in the second floor. And in the third floor, they had the high school, the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th grade. And then that they was on both ends. And then in the middle, they had the auditorium. So it was, I don't know, we had lots of fun.
What were some of the activities that you participated in? Did you play basketball?
Well, it was seemed like volleyball was and basketball. Not too, I think volleyball was seemed like most wasn't too much baseball, but not no football. That was just no football. But it seemed like it was volleyball and basketball and things like that. It's,
did y'all have any organized teams that went other places to play?
Well, yes, I think they did. But I never did go. That's the reason I said I never did get the joy of football or baseball. We had to, when school was out, we had to run on home and pick cotton. We had tents and cattle. I said lots of times I was in the field there crying because I wanted to go and see that game, but Mother said, well, I'm sorry, but we got to pick cotton, we got to do that. So I said, I never did get enthused too much in football. After the later years, when they did play football, that I just didn't get. And when we opened the store, well, just as soon as school was out, I had to run down to the store and get to work. So I never did get to take an active part in football or baseball or anything like that. So I just never did. But they went other places and they played games with other towns, you know, but really, I never did get to go, so I wouldn't know much about it.
Can you tell us something about the Depression years and what it was like?
It was pretty hard, pretty bad, it sure was. Well, we lost lots of money, I can guarantee you that. We tried to help people out, and they went broke, and they just never did pay us. So I said, I think the Lord was with us in a way that he helped us afterward to prosper enough that we gained back the things that we had lost. But it was very, very hard. It was just, we tried to help people and accommodate them, and, but you know how it is.
That time you didn't you couldn't expect people to always pay cash for all their groceries then, could you?
Well, after that, we were more alert on the thing, and we kind of, you know, watched our steps a little closer than we did before, because we just...
Do you know anything about the Ku Klux Klan here in Bishop? We've heard a couple little stories about the Ku Klux Klan. I want to see if you knew anything about it.
Yes, they were, like I said, we were Germans. And the Ku Klux Klan, they're very much opposed to the German people. And they stopped my daddy and myself to talk German in the store. We had to talk English. Well, we didn't mind. I said, it didn't bother us. But there were so many old people, old timers, that couldn't talk English. you know, German people that just lived in a German community all their lives, and when they came down here, they couldn't talk English. And so we had to talk German to those people. We didn't talk anything, but just questioned what they wanted, and they'd tell us what they wanted. But it was very, you know, they watched us very close.
It was just local people around here that were members of it. Do you know if it was a very large group of people, or
The Ku Klan, you mean?
Yes.
Well, it wasn't too large a group, but they were just during that war time too, you know, with the Germans, and that was a whole setup. They just thought we was going to talk German about the war, which we didn't. That war was over yonder, and we was in the head of the United States, so whatever they did over there, anyway, it was kind of hard for a while, and they whipped some Ku Klux Klan, taking the Luther preacher out here, and gave him a good beating, because he had a German congregation there, and like I said, there was some old-timers there that couldn't talk English, and he had to preach German. But he was preaching out of the Bible. He wasn't preaching Hitler or anything like that. But some of these people were just kind of fanatics, seemed like.
This was during World War II?
Yeah. But it never, like I said, it never did bother us very much, because we could talk to English, and we just talked English. But like I said, sometimes we were just kind of forced to talk to German to them, because they were they couldn't talk the English language, and we didn't talk about war. We just talked about the groceries or the merchandise that they wanted. So
these were just groups of people around town that were anti-German during the war,
felt
like you were.
Yeah, they thought we was taking up for the Germans, you know, something like that. But, said we was born here, mother and daddy was born here. Us kids were all born here. We was citizens here. We wasn't just because we were Germans, but there's no sign that we just, you know, you're just like the Latin Americans now. Well, we're less, you know, they're just, they're so fanatic. They just feel like we should just talk Spanish, you know, all the time. They just feel like we should do that in Venezuela. Well,
so there was quite a bit of hard feelings between the Germans and some of the others in the community at this time.
I belong to the Lutheran Church, and we had a small Lutheran church on the west side. Well, they had it in for the Germans, so somebody set the Lutheran church on fire and burned it down.
When was this? Do you remember?
Let's see. I don't remember.
During the war?
It was during the war. And they burned it down. So, we went ahead and built the second Lutheran church again. Well, at that time, the war was over with, and then it seemed like it had kind of quieted down then, and so it wasn't quite so bad anymore. And then, at that time, the people all had agreed to just have the English service and not any more German service. And we had maybe one third that they had German service, and the next third they had English service, you know. But anyway, they just cut out the German service altogether and just had English service. So I think that kind of satisfied everybody. Well, afterward, when we built our big Lutheran church over here on this side, so we just still have our. At first, we didn't have Luther said we had an education building, what we call an education building. We had our church in there, and then as the congregation grew and we got more money, then we built the big Lutheran church that we have here now.
The first one was located on the other side of town, and that was the one that was
small
burned.
Wooden building, yeah, that's right.
Was there a Lutheran church here when you first came?
No, it wasn't. No, we had our first Lutheran service in the schoolhouse. And there was two Lutheran churches here. It was the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and then it was the Missouri Lutheran Church. The Missouri Lutheran Church had theirs about 8 or 10 miles out of the country. They had their church. And then we had ours here in town. Well, and after a while, it came out the Evangelical Lutheran Church joined the American Lutheran Church. And so then that was called the American Lutheran Church, which it is now, present time. It belonged to the American Lutheran Church. And then the Concordia, that was the Concordia, was the Missouri Lutheran Church. Well, they have their Lutheran Church. They moved to town, and they have their big Lutheran Church here, just about three blocks from ours on Main Street. So that's so we have two big Lutheran churches. We have a Church of Christ, a nice big Methodist church, and a Baptist church, and they have a Catholic church across the track.
Did most of these start at the very beginning? Have they always been here?
Yes, I think so. The Methodist church, they started building there. The Baptist church started building there, but they were just smaller buildings, you see. And as the congregation grew, they just enlarged their building. So, but and the Church of Christ had a small building, and the Catholic people had a small. The Catholics was mostly Latin Americans. That was Latin American that had the Catholic church over there.
Do you remember anything about the railroads or the trains? Anything special or stories about those?
Well, like I said, when Bishop first organized, but he went to all parts of Central Texas and got a train, a special train, to bring these people to Bishop, and they just had that. They had a big, nice hotel here, and he entertained them with the hotel at the hotel, and then people would buy the lead. Some of them wouldn't, some of them did. But it seemed like, you know, everybody he brought down was sold on the outlay, and they all bought in here. Most of them did.
Is this the way your father came? Did he come on one of these excursions?
Well, he came on a train too. Yes, he came on a train. But my uncles, they came in 1911, and they wrote my daddy. They knew that he was in the grocery business, and so they got the job for him here in a grocery store. And since there were so many Germans here, well, they got that job for him. So he just...
Who was your uncle? What was his name?
Spiegelhauer.
Oh.
Now, you have Alfred Spiegelhauer, the constable, but it was his daddy. And he had a... He bought a farm out here, and he bought a farm out there. Well, they all passed away now. They're all gone. But Alfred Spiegelhauer, I went there last night to talk to him, but I couldn't remember just not so much about the early storms, you know, what the date. So he told me it was 1916 and 1919. He could remember that. But he can tell you, he was constable for years and years and years, and he could tell you something about the constable. He was only law, you might see, here at that time. And he was just really...
About when was he first constable? About what year? Do you remember?
I don't know. I really couldn't tell you. I just don't know. He can tell you more about that.
Okay.
If you want to talk to him about that. Well, it's the second house from here.
Did you ever hear of a Mother Lane, a faith healer here
right.
in town?
Mother Lane, that's right.
Do you remember any stories about her or anything?
Well, yes, she had Mother Lane. Originated, I think, in Kingsville. I think that's where she was. Had most of her patients down there. And then eventually, she came up to Bishop, and I think Mrs. Garcia was her aunt. And she started here. They had a house here, and she treated people with the things that she went through. And finally, I think she just gave up, and she went to Corpus. And that was just about the last that I've heard of Mother Lane.
How long ago was this thing when she left? Do you know the number of years? Do you remember?
I just don't know. I just don't remember how many years that was.
Did you have any doctors here when y'all first moved here?
Yes, I had Dr. Sturgis was the first doctor that I believe, Dr. Sturgis, Dr. Williams, I believe was the first two doctors. And then after a while, more doctors came in. And Dr. Sturgis left, and he went to school, back to school, and studied to be an eye, ear, nose, and throat specialist. And he opened, when he finished there, he opened the office in Corcoran. And he had quite a few Bishop patients because we all thought the world of Dr. Sturgis. And with Dr. Williams was here, and Dr. Cook was here, and first, I think they must have been about three or four doctors. They had a lady doctor. Her name was, I can't think of her name right now.
No, maybe you'll think of a little later.
I can't think of her name.
Do you remember when y'all first got a telephone?
What?
Do you remember your first telephone?
Well, we never did have telephone because Mother didn't want to talk over telephone until she got so old, she got so lonesome at the house, we finally put in a telephone. And after we put it there, we couldn't keep her away from the telephone. All those many neighbors always called up, and we couldn't get her when we was in the store. So when we wanted to get it, we just had to get in the pickup, come on home and tell her. Oh, we laughed about that so much. At first, she would not talk over telephone. And when she got started, we just couldn't keep her away from the telephone. Well, I meant she didn't want to talk, but so many, there's Mahalik and, good land. I just can't think of all the ladies that were always called up. They would just know so much, they would just talk, they didn't know when to stop.
What about your first radio? Do you remember that radio?
Yes, but that's good. Good little bit ago. We didn't, I think we were just, let's see, who was Screwdriver Whitten and Brother Marcel, I think, were the first one to have a color television in town. And we had quite a few visitors at that time. And color wasn't too good, the first one, because we had to do lots of twisting and turning to bring out the color. Sometimes it came in, sometimes. And there were too many stations that had color, you know. We just had certain stations that at certain times that would have color. And when we did, well, we had visitors then that they wanted to see what color television looked like. Well, it was a few years after that, well, more stations put on colors and more TV came in. So we just... I don't know anything about that. I sure don't know. They had it in the jail, and I think he set the thing. I think he set this thing on fire himself, and he couldn't get out, and he just burned up in it. But I just don't know. I don't know the particulars about that.
Did the German community ever have any special celebrations or festivals or anything like that that y'all celebrate, maybe that the rest of the community didn't? I know that sometimes birthdays are a big thing.
Well, I tell you that at that time, the German people, they belonged to the Sons of Hermann. That was a lodge. And most of them belonged to that lodge. Well, they built a big dance hall out there, and they had a kind of a side building where the lodge people would build in a median, where they had the lodge building, and then they, about once a week, where they would have a big dance, you know, things like that. That was about the only real community organization that I know of. They would all go in there with wagons and buggies and stuff like that to go out to that. That's about 3 miles. I'm in about 3 miles east of town.
Is still there?
No. I think one of the storms blew it down and they never did build that.
So that was one of the big things for recreation then, was to go to the dance.
Right.
That was once a week?
Yeah, that's right.
Anything else? Did y'all do anything else for recreation or entertainment?
Well, maybe some of them did. Like I said, we used to, before we had to work all the time. We didn't get to react very much. We had to stay home and work.
Well, I know carnivals came through town. Did y'all ever get to go to those carnivals as children in Chicago?
Yeah, well, they did have carnivals and things like that come in here. I mean, it come in, but as far as the local people, they didn't have anything like that that I know of. It was just usually carnivals that would travel through the country, you know, and they would come in and puppy show, donkey show, stuff like that would stop through. But as far as local, that's the only big celebration we had when we had the 50th anniversary centennial. We had a whole week of it. We had a real big time then, but that's about the only thing that I can think where the whole community had a part in it.
Did you and your brothers as boys get to go to any of these carnivals or minstrel shows or medicine shows?
I think we went a few times. But that was so long ago, I don't remember very much about it. I just don't know.
We talked quite a bit about World War II and what, you know, Bishop was like during World War II. Do you know anything about World War I, at the time of World War I? Anything about Bishop?
No, I sure don't.
You know Mr. Bishop?
Yes, I knew Mr. Bishop.
What do you remember about him?
Well, he was just a big talker, I can tell you that. He could talk people into into putting anything that he wanted to. He just did it. And he was a good mixer. And he was he laid the town out in such a wonderful way. And that, you know, people were just sold on his way of doing. And I think, yes, I know him. And he had daughters, two daughters, and I went to school with one of his daughters. And
what were his daughters' names? Do you remember?
Anel Bishop. Anel was one. I don't remember the name of the other one, but Anel Bishop was the one that I went to school with. And they just hotel is he had a hotel that he built. This is a monument. He was buried here in Bishop, and this is his monument right there. That's his picture right there. This is our grocery store right here. See, he had a swimming pool right here down the lake. They had a lake down here, but as you come from Kingsville, you know, they built that. Well, they had a wonderful lake there. This is a swimming house right there. Oh, good land. People would gather there every Sunday. And, you know, it was just a very, very nice thing right there. These are some of the buildings when they first, this was the first state bank right here. And these are some of the buildings right here. See, where's the hotel? I thought this is the First Methodist Church that's built here. And this is the Baptist Church right here. This is this centennial right here. There's some of the people that are taking part in centennial.
Hello.
This is the hotel right here. This is the hotel. We stayed there two nights when we first came here before we had to rent a house. And so that's we stayed at that hotel right there.
That was quite a thrill for a little boy.
Yeah, oh, you tell me, it sure was. That's right. When you lived in just a little 2-3 room house out in West Texas there where the sandstorms were. Yes, it's...
Do you remember anything special from those 2 days that you stayed at the hotel?
No, I sure don't remember. I think I was about 9 years old at that time, so I just don't remember very much about that.